ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi, I'm Alicia Simmons.
And I'm Lee Boucher.
As historians, we've spent years digging into the lives of people who have changed history, for better or for worse.
So naturally, we are extremely qualified to gossip about them.
And because they're dead, they can't sue.
In our podcast, we sift through Australia's most notable and notorious characters, giving you our unfiltered takes.
Search the Dead Can't Sue podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Telstra says it's sorry for letting Australians down after last week's nationwide outage. But how is it going to compensate customers left out of pocket? And what do we know now, a week on, about what went so horribly wrong? Today, National Consumer Affairs reporter Michael Atkin on whether the telco is going to be held to account. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Michael, a week ago, thousands of Australians were taken offline after Telstra went into, well, a bit of a meltdown. It just caused chaos, didn't it?
Yes, chaos is probably the best description. At least tens of thousands of Telstra customers around the country couldn't make or receive calls. They couldn't use mobile data or access some of their SMS services.
Couldn't make any calls, couldn't access any internet.
Using the maps, and it just went out all of a sudden, so an SOS only.
There was no Via Line train from Geelong, so we had to drive from Queenscliff to Geelong, no train, so then we drove to Williamstown, and there was no train from Williamstown either.
It's a very bad outage. Like, I can't turn on my radio to get a job, I can't turn on my cab charge machine.
Most seriously, it cut hundreds of people off from 000. It brought down Victoria's regional passenger train network, while in New South Wales, some regional and intercity trains were delayed and cancelled. Businesses weren't able to take electronic payments, so missed out on huge amounts of money that day. Public transport ticketing was affected, and even some electric vehicle charging stations weren't working. And so it was just this extraordinary cascading effect where the Telstra network melts down and people's lives were badly affected all day.
And amazing, I thought, that some regional trains, they stopped for more than 24 hours. What was going on there?
Yes, authorities say the network interfered with the SIM cards that were used on the trains to communicate with the wider network. And this is particularly important for communication between drivers and other parts of the network, but also sharing information on location and speed and arrival times. So, you know, they probably could have run the trains, but it wasn't safe to do so.
And of course, it even affected the Telstra boss, Vicky Brady, and her staff, because initially when they were trying to contact her, she was in Europe on a holiday, they couldn't get hold of her because they were affected by the outage.
Yes, and eventually made contact with her by Microsoft Teams. So, you know, just extraordinary, really. So Vicky Brady was on holidays with her family and she flew back in to face the anger on Friday morning to front the media and face the public outrage over it.
We have let our customers and Australians down. And for that, I am deeply sorry.
She acknowledged the seriousness, particularly of those emergency call failures, and she said that they were committed to this internal investigation into the cause and how they would respond.
We take trust in 000 extremely seriously. We understand what caused the issue, and we will complete our investigation into the actions needed to prevent it from happening again. You have my commitment on that.
On Friday, Vicky Brady and other executives will front a Senate inquiry where they'll have to explain what exactly went wrong, how it responded, and why this issue was allowed to occur in the first place.
But Michael, just give me a deeper idea of the impact of all of this. Now, we know Optus went down late last year. Two deaths were linked to that outage because emergency calls were offline for 13 hours. So what do we know? Are there any deaths at this point linked to this outage?
There's not at this stage. We know that more than 600 000 calls couldn't get through. Unlike the Optus outage, which was linked to two deaths, there haven't been any so far confirmed to be linked to the Telstra outage.
The last few days have been really difficult for many Australians. And now that Telstra has resolved its outage, it is time for Telstra to face the music.
The Communications Minister, Annika Wells, she has promised to hold the telco to account.
Telstra has held special trust from Australians, but that trust really stands in peril today. It is going to take Telstra a lot of time and a lot of work to rebuild that trust with Australians. And I want Australians to know that the government will hold Telstra to account.
But Michael, what does she actually mean by that? Because the telecommunications giants are largely self-regulated, aren't they? They're not under the government's control like they used to be.
I think this is one of the most pressing questions. I think the public sentiment is so strong here that there is pressure on the government to do more. ACAN, the peak consumer group for the sector, it argues that telecommunications should be recognised as an essential service in law, which would require certain standards around enforceable reliability standards. In the telco space, it's often internal commitments or voluntary commitments or commitments that are in industry codes, and that's not sufficient. Annika Wells has been making a number of changes, and she points to legislation that's still before the parliament, which would give her powers as minister to mandate certain mobile minimum standards across the country. But the Greens aren't happy with that, and Greens Senator Sarah Hanson-Young says when Parliament comes back, she will push for stronger reliability standards to be put in place in law. And there's a view that these telco services, that it should be more heavily regulated.
Telecommunications, whether it's mobile phone, whether it's use of the internet, is now an essential service. We need to make sure this system is robust, and it's time to scrap the self-regulation. And the government really has to bite the bullet on that. We need proper rules and proper penalties and proper enforcement.
All right. Well, Michael, why don't we consider further now what caused this outage, what, if any, compensation Telstra customers might be owed, and what we can do, I guess, to make sure as consumers we're protected into the future. Now, just explain a bit further what exactly went wrong here for Telstra and then, of course, for all of their customers.
I would say we don't have a full explanation yet. Telstra has said that the outage was caused by a software defect in nodes that manage time synchronisation between different technology in its data centres. The Sydney Morning Herald cited two internal sources with Telstra who talked about faulty software updates causing some of Telstra's timing servers to reset their clocks by 1,024 weeks, almost 20 years, which made them think the date was way back in 2006 instead of 2026. It basically, my understanding is, it causes a cascading effect across the network. And when the timing doesn't match, it causes this sort of domino effect that results in a failure of the technology. The Sydney Morning Herald also alleged in its story that the server itself was outdated and had stopped being made in about 2016 and could have been replaced for less than $30,000. So if these allegations are true, and Telstra will certainly be asked about this at the Senate inquiry, it leads to very serious questions about what Telstra has been doing, having such an outdated piece of equipment that its entire network was reliant on that caused this cascading effect.
And what about Vicky Brady then? What she had to say about this, the Telstra boss, because the ABC has reported that Telstra was warned by experts and government agencies that this timekeeping system could be vulnerable to error.
Yeah, she did admit that this broader risk around timing systems has been well known in the industry, but she didn't go into much more detail than that. This is a very important question here, and what the investigations will probe. Well, if this problem with timing was well known, what plans did Telstra have in place to mitigate this network meltdown that did occur? But Vicky Brady did not confirm details about Telstra's backup systems or the processes to do with the timing systems, or if the telco had specific plans to address this type of failure.
These timing synchronisation systems are well known to be critical to a mobile network. So, our network is built with a lot of redundancy put in place, and that will be part of this investigation. Did all of that work as it should?
And as we mentioned, Michael, we had the Optus network failure last year. We must have learnt some lessons from that. Did the government do anything to actually strengthen the system after that outage?
Yes, we've had two major Optus outages in recent years, including last year. There has been a review that was conducted, the Bean Review, which made a number of recommendations that have been implemented by the government, including creating this 000 custodian. And what's important about that is the custodian has this oversight role for the entire system to make sure it's reliable. Annika Wells has made a number of other positive changes. The fines for 000 related failures have increased to $30 million.
Well, Michael, a huge lesson from this, I suppose, for us as consumers is that we are so reliant in Australia on a few big telecommunications carriers. And really, you choose one, right? And then you're sort of stuck with it. Should we really at this point be thinking about having a backup in case this happens again?
I think the fact we're even discussing that shows how big a problem this is for the integrity of the system. It's not affordable or practical for people to go out and buy a second phone with another SIM card with a different telco. But I think on a practical level, if you do have somebody vulnerable at home, somebody who's older or who has a particular kind of illness that might need emergency help, well, you should be thinking about what kind of backup arrangement you need. And I think that's prudent. There are growing calls for domestic roaming to be mandated in Australia. Some advocates think that it would give users better access and better prices as well, and would mean during an outage, your phone could use another network. While ACAN says this domestic roaming capability could have avoided some of the worst impacts of last week's outage, Telstra told us the opposite. It said that mandated roaming would not have made a difference. In fact, they say it would have made the outage worse because suddenly adding millions of additional users would place extraordinary demand on the remaining networks, potentially taking them down as well. The idea was previously looked at in 2017, but it was shut down by the consumer watchdog, the ACCC, because they thought it would reduce incentives for telcos to invest in their networks and not lead to lower prices.
What about compensation then? As we said, you know, there were businesses that were left out of pocket. So what is Telstra saying about that?
Yeah, I think that applies to regular Telstra customers as well as businesses. Mm. So if you were impacted by the outage and you can prove that you were harmed financially in some way, say you lost income or you had to, you know, pay for expenses you wouldn't normally pay for, like you had to get a taxi or an Uber somewhere, you may be able to try and get that back if you have records of it, and you should apply directly to Telstra with that evidence. Business customers need to provide more detailed evidence, things like point of sale records, FPOS records, booking records, whatever they can do to prove that they lost business. Mm. And I think importantly, if people are unsatisfied with what Telstra offers them, they can complain to the industry ombudsman, the TIO, which will assess complaints on a case-by-case basis.
Mm, all right. Well, Michael, this sort of outage has now happened twice in less than a year. So what do you think, as consumers, really, Can we have any confidence that it just won't happen again?
Well, people tell me they don't have any confidence in the system, and I think that's a huge problem. And it's showing up in consumer surveys too, with Roy Morgan's survey showing the telco sector is one of the most distrusted in the country, with Optus a repeat offender on that list, and Telstra no doubt is going to slide down the rankings now as well. I think the key ways confidence can be restored are simply a long stretch of time without another mass network outage, which impacts emergency calls and causes widespread meltdowns across the economy. There could also be clear system reform so that people actually believe the system is more robust and see evidence of that. And I think, importantly, if something goes wrong when these massive companies like Telstra and Optus let us down, they face harsh consequences, penalties that are so big that they act as a deterrent and can't be factored simply into the cost of doing business, so that the cost of fixing the problems is less than the penalties they may face.
Michael Atkin is the ABC's National Consumer Affairs reporter. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed and Louise Mylan. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. ABC News Daily will be back again tomorrow. Thanks for listening.